You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the success strategies and the secrets of the top 1% so you can amplify your business and your life today. I'm really excited for today's guest. He comes out of Dallas, Texas, where I lived for quite some time, and his name is Ryan Stueman. He has never had a salary job in his entire life. And through mastering the art of being a super effective communicator, Ryan has closed more transactions than he has had time to add up. With a no BS approach to making things happen, Ryan has been able to help high income and high net worth performers make adjustments in their business that have led to windfall profits for them. It doesn't matter if you're selling cars, homes, financial service, or consulting. Ryan can help you generate more leads with higher quality, as well as increase your closing ratios and show you how to charge premium fees for the items you sell. Ryan was raised and born in Dallas, Texas, and is probably the proudest Texan you'll ever meet. He's also the father of the future greatest salesman in the world, aka Mr. Jax, as well as I know he has another son and another one on the way. So I want to welcome Ryan Stueman to Making Bank.
Hey, what's up, everybody? And dude, we're live. I shared this on my page too, so like maybe some of our people will watch this and maybe we'll say something interesting. I'm looking forward to it. We'll talk about making some money, right? Making some bank.
Awesome, man. Well, tell me a little bit about how you got started. I know I've kind of heard your story here and there when you've spoke at different events that I've been at, and I find it's fascinating just some of the challenges that you've incurred throughout your life to be able to get to where you are today.
Well, you know, I've definitely survived some ups and downs in my life. Matter of fact, the other day, I guess it was about a week ago, I put a timeline out there on my personal profile. It was like 1997, left school, and like this whole thing all the way up until 2017. And man, I have been through a hell of a lot. I adoption, prison, you know, homelessness and everything else. But these days, I'm actually in the sales training world, like you talked about in the intro, but I got my start by selling car washes. I had ADD as a kid, go figure, right? What are we talking about? But anyway, so I had ADD as a kid, and like my stepfather, he was always trying to put me to work. So I was like out of his hair, you know, he could like drop me off with the car wash manager and then he didn't have to pay a babysitter or anything like that. So anyway, so I'd started working at the car wash and selling car washes. And actually after my first stint in prison, I went back to work at the car wash and one of the customers offered me a job in mortgages. And that's when I was like open to the opportunity of making like real money. I was working for the bank, making bank, strangely enough.
Right on.
How's that for a plug? Shameless plug there, ladies and gentlemen. That's how I got started. So right there in the mortgage business, man. And then, you know, obviously from there, things have changed. I lost my license in 2010, and that's when I switched to doing the online stuff today. So
with your mortgage business, I mean, you kind of went through that whole up and then the big crash and everything else along the way.
Well, not really. I didn't. That's kind of what was strange about me. And so actually in 2005, the local police here in lovely North Texas, they decided to pay me a visit without asking to come over. And they came in with a bunch of guns. They were like total party poopers, right? They arrested a bunch of us. It was a terrible ordeal. And so anyway, because of that terrible ordeal and not inviting them over and them crashing our party, I ended up going and doing 15 months for some like unlicensed weapons. Who knew? It's Texas. I thought we could have whatever the hell we wanted. I got a buddy up the street that's got nukes. I don't see what. Anyway, so I ended up going and doing some time in prison again. And actually had to go inside a federal prison from 2007 until 2008. So I went to 15 months during those 2 years. And so like that was when things were starting to implode. About the time that I left and had to go do my time, things were starting to implode. And by the time I got out, what had happened is there had been a mass exodus. So everybody had been like butt burnt by the mortgage business, and they were so mad at it, and they went to the oil business, or they went to become landmen or something like that, right? And so when I got out, I was like, dude, it's wide open out here. If I can get my mortgage license back, there's no competition. And that's exactly what happened. I just went out there and I started hitting up all my buddies that weren't in the mortgage business anymore. And I was like, hey man, like whatever happened to all those real estate agents you were doing business with? And they're like, oh, you know, I don't even talk to them anymore. It's like, well, hey, why don't you introduce them to me? At least you know I'll, you know, take care of them and stuff. It doesn't make any sense. You just let them go somewhere else. Dude, I just scooped up a good portion of the market for myself because I saw an opportunity where everybody else was scared as hell to stay in the mortgage business. I was like, well, if everybody's leaving and I step into it and I'm still good, then you know that just means that we just got a lot of the chaff out of the way and I can go straight after the good stuff.
So along the way, I mean, what, obviously coming out of prison, I mean, what was some of those challenges that you ran into? I mean, just being able to start your business, to start building it, as well as then creating that trust factor and stuff with people.
Well, you know, I've always been a straightforward person. So trust building's never really been a thing with me. I'm the type of person that I build a bond with somebody pretty quickly. Most people say, hey man, I just met you. I feel like I've known you forever kind of thing. And it's not that I let my guard down, but I get real friendly with people really easily. So, and I don't really mean anybody any harm ever. So trust has never really been an issue, but it is hard to sell a bank on giving you a two-time felon an opportunity to work there. I will say that took some serious sales skills. But in 2010, I lost my license because the administration passed something called the Dodd-Frank Act. It's like the biggest joke in the history of the U.S. litigation and everything. But anyway, they passed it somehow, and it incorporated this thing called the NMLS licensing. So even though the state of Texas, this would be like a recurring theme in my life for some reason. So with the gun charge that I went to federal prison, the state of Texas says you can have whatever guns you want. And the ATF says, that's not what we think. And there is a different set of rules. Like, and if it was like Colorado, they say, you know, you can have as much weed as you want. But if the DEA steps in, they're like, hey, man, like this shit's still illegal. And so like that's just how it works. Right. And same with guns in Texas. But I didn't get the ATF doesn't acknowledge our laws memo on my doorstep, or I would have like been paying better attention. But anyway, so as luck would have it, things happen. So I got a license in the state of Texas to do mortgages. And what happened was the federal government passed a law and abolished the state licensing exam. And since I had just done federal time, they're like, oh, hell no, we ain't giving you a license. And so, again, they will have like superseded the state that I live in. And I'm like, that's not how it's going with states' rights. Like, it's not supposed to. So I lost my license. And that's when I started looking at this whole internet equation. I was actually going to go ask a friend of mine for a job. And I'm like, hey, man, before I even got a chance to give him a job, I was like, hey, man, I'd like to talk to you about work. And he goes, that's great, because this thing we're doing on the internet. And then he didn't shut up for 10, 15, maybe 30 minutes about this whole like Ryan Dice guy. And right. I'm like, oh, this is 2010. And I'm like, man, whatever. Right. But we get out to this guy's Hummer, and in the back of the Hummer, he's going to give me this DVD collection or some shit from this guy. And he's like, I paid $8,000 for this. Well, I know my friend to be like one of the cheapest bastards on the planet. Like, he's still driving a Hummer. It's like 2010. They ain't made those things since 2001, right? He's still driving that thing. He still has it now. It's 2017 almost. But anyway, but he has these $8,000 DVDs. And I'm like, dude, that's some intriguing. If somebody got that from you, yeah. I want to see what they're selling, right? And I watched it, and it opened my mind to the possibility of the internet. You know, it's not – I don't have that story about where I went out and I got two JVs and I got a working funnel and became a millionaire. I don't have that story. I have a story of from 2010 until what you see right now. It has been a lot of struggles, a lot of testing, but I've done it all without any business partners, without any joint ventures, without any affiliates having to promote me. I am completely debt free. I have done it with like minimum labor. Not until recently did we even start hiring people. So I've been able to build like this very strong machine online. And it took me a long time, obviously, but I've been able to build this very strong machine online. in a way that most other people haven't. Most people are very reliant on different things, and I've been able to do it all. Like I said, debt-free by myself, no business partners, no joint ventures, no investors, just like me. So
that's awesome. I mean, what do you think your key to being able to learn and understand all that information so quickly? I guess, you know, what, 6 years, 7 years? So I guess it's not quickly, but people may see it that way.
Well, yeah. Well, the thing is, when I was in federal prison, I read a book, maybe two a day. I didn't want to go watch TV because, like, people bitch and argue over TV channels and all that stuff, right? And you have, like, you go in there and it's like, let's just be real. One side of the room is like rap music, which is cool. Then on the other side of the room, it's like Mexican music, which really don't mix well with rap music. So you got all this noise, and then they telling each other, turn it down and all that shit. I just stayed out of there. You know what I mean? And so I got to where I read books, and I would read, and I thought, well, you know what? I didn't get an education. I left school when I was like 15 years old. I got my GED when I was 17. I basically said, I'm going to learn about business because I'm going to probably have to create my own because nobody's going to give me a job when I get out of here. And that's what I did. I read every book about business I get my hand on, from the federal prison library to whoever I could order for free online, or whoever I could write a letter to out there in the outside world and ask them to send me a book. And I read, as I borrow them from other inmates, trade the books that I have. Dude, I was trying to take as much information as I could. So it's not like I had to just process it. Well, that taught me how to process information. And so with all that knowledge and then just applying those same principles online, that's really what allowed me to build all this. But like I said, it's not something that I built all overnight. You know, I have had the hardcore closer blog itself since 2012. And so, you know, I've been at this for quite a while, little by little, just like chipping away, swinging singles one after another. But right now we're hitting a bunch of home runs, you know, we're hitting a whole bunch of home runs. It's nice.
No, that's excellent. And I think, you know, a lot of people, like you said, is they look at it and like, oh man, Ryan came out of nowhere and now he's this huge success. And it's not. I mean, it's that grind every day, and you know, it's that long game, like Gary Vaynerchuk says. And you know, I think that's what we got to really look at.
Yeah, well, you know, it is a long game for me, but I have a great balance. I am nothing like Gary in a sense of, well, A, I don't make $100 million a year, so we got that going for us, right? But in the sense of, like, that guy, you never see a picture of his family. You never see him spending time. Every picture, every video, everything you watch is always him working. You never see him holding his kids, or at least I haven't. I've seen a lot of his videos and stuff, you know, and I don't want that. You know, on the contrast, another popular person would be Cardone. At least you see him with his little girls and his wife. His wife's in a lot of pictures with him, you know, in a lot of videos. His wife's involved in the game. She's involved in his business. The little girls, he always asking them questions. So at least they've got that going for him. I want that balance, man. I don't grind all the time. Like today, I'm going to do this interview. I've got another interview at 12:30. I'm going to go pick up my kids from school, and we're going to go ride four-wheelers all afternoon on a Wednesday. How about that? You know, and that's the side where a lot of people think, oh, man, you got to work all the time. And look, but I've been up since 4:30 this morning. Don't get me wrong. I've been up, like, handling my business since 4:30 this morning. That way, here at 2:30 in the afternoon, I can go do what I want.
Cool. No, that's awesome. Hey, we got to take a quick break. Can you stick around?
Yeah, of course.
Awesome. I am Josh Felbert. You're watching Making Bank. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Making Bank. I am Josh Felbert, where we've had the honor and privilege so far this morning to speak with Ryan Stueman, where he's ran into a lot of hard challenges through prison and trying to build his business, to his license being taken away, to being able to take an online internet business and create wealth and create freedom and create lifestyle for him and his family. So I want to welcome you back to Making Bank, Ryan.
Here I am. Here we are. It's round two.
So tell me, one of the things, and you mentioned it right before the break, was, you know, your whole thing is you want to incorporate, you know, whole life and the balance and all that. And that's one of the things that I've always kind of taken heart is, you know, being able to create that integration. Because the balance is never going to be balanced. So I always thought, okay, how can I integrate what I'm doing with my family and my family with what I'm doing and my wife and our other businesses and everything as well? And I think for me, that's what made the most sense. And I really think that's really cool that you've kind of taken that same approach to be able to connect your family with everything you guys do.
Well, I've really figured out how to manage it. When you're in prison, a lot of things stem from there. You create a habit 21 days. Imagine what I created in 15 months, right? and like a habitual, and I stick to a schedule and everything else. Well, I'm used to waking up early. I don't need an alarm clock. It just kind of happens natural with me. 4:30, I'm up, because that's when they fed us for a year, you know, and every morning 4:30, or you didn't eat for the day, like you were sure up, right? And there. So, well, one time I took a trip to Hawaii, and I was with a friend of mine, and he said, you know, I'd like to live here instead of the mainland, because you could wake up here at like 4 a.m. and it would be normal working time on the mainland, and you'd be done with your day by 2 p.m. and you could go surf the rest of the day while the rest of the world was sleeping. And I'm like, well, why don't I just do that in America, like on the mainland? Why don't I just go back to Texas and start waking up from 4 to 2 and keep that same schedule and work really hard from 4 to 2 and then be able to do what I want and still have daylight? And this was probably 4 years ago, and I've always done that. I front load the time that my boys are going to be in school. I'm like hammer down productivity time. Then when they get out of school, oftentimes I'm able to do whatever we want. So,
no, that's awesome. So tell me about 3 defining moments in your life that really have made transformation for you.
Well, yeah, which 3, I guess. But as far as transformation, I know a lot of people say this, but I want to give credit to where credit is due. The first time that I read Think and Grow Rich was in 2004. One of my mortgage banker buddies gave it to me. And actually, it wasn't Think and Grow Rich. It was Law of Success, like the really thick one.
Right.
And he's like, I challenge you to read this 1,700-page book. And I'm like, bitch, don't challenge me. I don't turn down challenges, right? So I'm like reading this book, and turns out it was like full of all sorts of awesomeness. And I remember standing on the coffee table like Tom Cruise style, saying, one day I'm going to send a message like this to millions of people. I don't know how. I don't know what it's going to be about. Right. Who knows? But I'm going to do it, right? And this was so many years ago, and I just kind of let that flicker. And then when I was locked up in prison, there was a defining moment where I made a decision to where everything that had happened to me up to that point was never going to happen to me again. I wouldn't be a victim of the system. I wouldn't be a victim of circumstances. I would tell, like, I was in the situation because I should have told people no, and I should have stood up instead of being overly nice and things like that. And I decided that I was no longer going to let people run things. And that was a huge transition. And the third that I would say has been the biggest, most recent transition is writing a book. The fact that I wrote a book, it changed the game for me. I mean, if you look at the trajectory of our company's growth, our client base, our income, and the time when I started releasing books, they are all right there aligned simultaneously.
And yeah, you have several books out now, right?
Four books in less than 2 years. That's in less awesome, than two man. Years, I've written 4 books. So I enjoy writing. That's my, if cool. There's like one secret, it's like, what makes you a better salesman than everybody else? Like, I can write.
That's awesome.
You know, and I have that skill. Everything you read on my blogs, the things I write for Forbes, the things I write for Huffington Post, that's really me. That's not me telling somebody smart to write something and put my name on it. That's like me actually putting together, formulating everything. I put the time in, and that's something that every Sunday from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m., I put the time in to write for all these publications and produce all this stuff, man. And that's like my big talent is writing. And that's what I enjoy the most about this business, too. So I get to write. Who thought? I dropped out of school. Can hardly speak English. I'm from the South. We don't even speak full-blown English down here. And then I'm a writer. It's crazy. But the book thing's been huge. And it just gives you credibility. People are like, oh, he must be an expert because he was able to formulate his thoughts into paper, which most people can't do.
Right. Yeah, no, definitely. I think the book does help create that credibility. It creates that, you know, way for people to actually see, hey, here's what you're talking about. I believe it more because it's on paper now in a book format instead of just on speaking online or typing or whatever it may be. So definitely, for sure. Who's one of your role models, or have you had a role model that's helped you any throughout your process and journey?
Man, I have had a lot of role models and mentors that have helped me over the years. A lot of popular people, a lot of even famous people. But the folks that I look up to the most still out there that when I need advice that I go to are my buddy, and he's like a brother to me, Kevin Nations. Garrett J. White is another person that is a really close person. It's like a brother to me. And but, you know, the thing is, this is weird, and I'll give advice to people that you take it for what it's worth. Oftentimes, man, meeting your role models ain't all it's cracked out to be. And I mean, there's been plenty of times where I've joined these masterminds with people and I realized I was the sharpest dude in the room. And I don't say that to be arrogant or mean or ego, but that's not what I joined for. But there's a lot of times you wind up in the middle of things. You find out it's not what you thought it was, and it can be disheartening. And so I've met a lot of people that were my role models at one point that are now, I don't think of them that way, but Garrett and Kevin have been guys that have always been true to the game. They've always been straightforward with me. Frank Kern's another one. I was just at his house about a month and a half ago. He's always been somebody that's been straightforward and been true to the game that I've learned a lot from as well. So
cool. No, that's awesome. I think it's, important to have. And once you find those role models that you connect with, and I think part of it too is that continue to be able to challenge you and be able to call you out, when you need it. And like you said, if you're the smartest guy in the room, you're totally in the wrong room altogether. So
yeah. Yeah, that's not cool. in this business, if you show up in the room and you're the smartest dude in the room, like some people would think it's a compliment, but I'm a salesman. I start thinking, damn, everybody owes me some damn money in here, man. I'm helping y'all build y'all's businesses and shit. Y'all didn't even pay me. I'm paying to be here. What the hell's going on here?
Yeah.
So, nice. And it's not, like I said, it's not always like that, but I've been in a lot of different programs over the years, lots. And I'm just saying that the three guys that I listed have been the guys that have made the three biggest impact in my life that I believe that if I wasn't, I wouldn't be who I am today or where I'm at today if it wasn't for the help of Frank Kern, Kevin Nations, and Garrett J. White, for sure.
Cool. Yeah. All awesome people for sure. So tell me a little about, I know you mentioned you get up at 4:30 in the morning. What is there some of those daily habits or those rituals that you've incorporated that have led to your success?
Well, we don't watch TV in our house. So that's like one big thing. And now when I say TV, like we have a family movie night or something like that, but we don't have cable TV. We don't have a record or DVR or any of that. We got Apple TV. We want something, we rent a movie on Apple TV. And the thing is, that's been huge because instead of going to sleep watching TV, and I haven't had TV in years, but instead of going to sleep watching TV, we read books and we have conversations or we're online on our iPads or our phones or whatever, where we're engaging with people, we're reading and taking in information instead of just like watching mind-numbing TV. And that's been huge because you don't realize how much time you waste. And you don't realize how much cooler it is really if the family is waiting for dinner. And at most places, the TV's on. The wife's cooking dinner. The TV's on, or the husband's cooking dinner. The TV's on. They're watching the news. Their brains being rotted out because the news is like, Trump's going to get us all nuked by Russia. Damn it, Russia. Hillary should have won. Like, everything's like the end of the world crap, right? And then, like, you can't understand why everybody in your family's on edge, and they, like, flip the potatoes over on the table. And they're like, screw you, Mom. They can't figure out what's going on. They got the news media wiring them up over there where they can't go. Whereas in our house, like when we're cooking dinner, we don't have the TV on. So what are we doing? We're listening to music. We're hanging out, talking. All of us are sitting around the table. Even though we have our devices on us, we're still talking to each other too. Maybe showing each other what's on the device or whatever the case. Because my little kids, they love technology.
Yeah.
And I believe that doing that has made us more of a family. No good song comes on, the three or four of us will hop up and start dancing and stuff. You never started dancing to your favorite commercial. Nobody does that shit. Right. Their TV commercial comes on. Nobody's family gets up and dances, but we do. Because we're listening to music, we're just doing things different. So I think that's made a really big difference in our overall like mental setup over here and actually finding a lot of time to do things. But I keep a schedule, and I can give like the entrepreneurs, this is like a key to success, is I keep a schedule. I'm very efficient with my time. If Amy, which Amy's my fiance, if she wants to do something with me, whether it be date night or have a conversation or whatever, she puts it on my calendar. And I know that sounds like, dude, he makes his girlfriend, what a douchebag. He makes his girlfriend put time on his calendar. But here's the thing. If I'm going to do $1 million deals,
right,
and I got to put that on my calendar, and that's important, which signifies it's important because it's on my calendar, then why wouldn't I share that same importance with my significant other and put her on that calendar and make it real too? Because if it's on my calendar, it's real. My kids are the same thing. They want to go to the park. They either hit me or they hit Amy up, and they're like, hey, that we want dad to take us to the park, put it on a schedule for when he gets off work, that way he can take us to the park. And they know.
Yeah.
And I've got the whole family acting that way. That way I don't get ambushed.
That's awesome.
During the day, nobody shows up through my doors. My kids don't come in and bother me because I might be in the middle of a podcast or a live stream or whatever. I'll have those problems. Instead, everybody gets in the calendar, respects the calendar, and guess what? They get more time than anybody else because they schedule it for themselves. They get all the time they need because they schedule it for themselves. So nobody feels inadequate because it's like, oh, well, I don't feel like you're paying attention to me. Did you go to the schedule?
Right.
It's wide open. We could be hanging out for 6 hours on Thursday, just me and you. Have you asked anybody to do that? But now they get it. So sounds weird to a lot of people, but it is effective if you can just get everybody on board. And yeah. It's not a matter of my calendar matters most. This is like, this is the family calendar. I'm the leader of this family. Here's the leader calendar. If you want to be a part of what's going on and you want to take part of it, then you got to slice out your part of the calendar just like I do.
That's awesome. I mean, I love that idea. I mean, we do that now, but I think I like the part that you had where the kids, hey, let me schedule this in. Whereas it's okay, hey, they say, hey, Dad, we want to do something. And then I go, make sure it gets added and stuff. But I think them coming to you, help them block it out. But I mean, we do something similar. And I think it works awesome because then I don't really know what day it is until I actually look at my phone and know what's in the calendar and what's happening.
That's it. Yeah. Same here.
So, go ahead.
Hey, so I just want to point this out, man.
Yeah.
I just want to shout out to Max, man. I got like a startup drug shirt on. You got a startup drug shirt on. Like my boy Max, man, who's a real salesman out there? I'm thinking Max is the real salesman out there.
Yeah. No, Max is startup drugs. We've been become some pretty good buddies there. So he's actually, I'm interviewing him later today. I'm like, dude, I got to have you on the show. We got to tell him about what you're doing, what you got going on. So he's
tell him I said what's up, man. I've probably spent $500 with them, man, and God knows how many people I've sent there. Matter of fact, the last meeting that we did for our Break Free Academy,
right?
Like on day one, you can wear whatever you want. On day two, you got to wear my T-shirts, right? But so we can get pictures. But on day one, you wear whatever. Like 80% of the people showed up wearing startup drug shirts that said one thing or another. I'm like, oh man, that's awesome.
That's so cool. Yeah, he's made a dent there.
Yeah, cool, man. Well, he's got good stuff, good slogans and logos and things like that. So
yeah, no, for sure. So tell me a little bit. So you're the hardcore closer. So let's dive into a little bit about, we got a lot of entrepreneurs listening, people that want to be better salespeople. What different ways have you found that have made you successful in selling better, closing better, whatever, however you want to describe it?
Well, that's a broad-ass question, but I'll let you
define it and bring it in tight.
Yeah, I'll get you a pretty easier answer. My biggest thing is I sell worst-case scenario. So I am confident and I am if anything that I've ever sold, I'm very knowledgeable about it. So I sell worst-case scenario, and I believe that if you can set this is like the worst-case scenario situation that can happen. If you can sell on that basis point, then you deliver way above and beyond the expectation you set with them. They'll send you a plethora of referrals. They'll never complain. They'll fall in love with you anytime they think of whatever it is that you sell. Like if you go and you're a general contractor, let's just say, and you go to a job site and you overbid by $50,000, but yet you sold them on the fact that your service was superior and your stuff was going to be double inspected and triple safe and there would be earthquake proof and all this other stuff. And you closed them on that and then you delivered it 10 G's below the original 50 grand. So you delivered it $60,000 less. How much happier are they going to be about and do the next project with you and do the but instead, what most people do is they sell at that $60,000 deficit. And then when they come over the budget by $60,000, they lose referrals. They got to deal with all sorts of heat and everything. And so I've always just sold, worst case scenario. And I think that that's really been what's helped me because oftentimes nowadays I'm kind of in my own little circle, people know.
Sure.
But back in the day when I was building that circle, people would say, well, why didn't you just tell me that all this back there existed, man? I would have bought this shit months ago from you. It's like, man, I don't want to promise you that. That's up to you.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. So kind of selling the worst case scenario, but so you're not over deliver, not over promising, but you're over delivering.
Yeah, I way under promise.
Right.
Like I said, I'm selling people worst case scenario. And I believe that that's the best. It takes a salesperson to be able to do that because most people are selling best case scenario and that shit never happens.
Right.
And I don't really think that's selling. That's like, making a bunch of false promises that have a slim chance of coming through. But again, I'm from the mortgage industry. And so in the mortgage industry, that's what we had to do. We had to sell worst case scenario because, hey, man, if you don't give me a bank statement, then this shit's done. If you don't give me a tax return, then this stuff. If this doesn't say these exact numbers that you're telling me right here, we cannot do this deal. And so I've done that thousands of times. I've did thousands of mortgage transactions.
Right.
So I've always used to just being straightforward with everybody and letting them know. Plus, I always watched how the lawyers dealt with me through me going in and out of jail all those years. And they always sold me on some worst case scenario stuff. So the experience between the legal system and the banking world, that's just been a good habit that I created that served me well. Cool. Sure, it's probably kept a lot of people from buying from me on the front end, but when people do purchase, we don't lose them. We don't have refunds. We don't have complaints. Like, we don't get that kind of stuff in my business, which is rare for the kind of business I run.
Right. And so we just got a few minutes left. If you could kind of give us an idea, what are maybe your top two things that helped lead you down the best path of success throughout your life?
Well, you know, creating habits, managing the schedule, like I said earlier, and then aligning yourself with the right people. You know, back in the day when I read the Law of Success from Napoleon Hill, I couldn't reach out to Napoleon Hill and be like, hey, yo, Napoleon, let's me and you link up. Maybe we go to a mastermind on Richard Branson's island somewhere. Like, what is it going to cost? $100,000? Like, you know, we couldn't do that. But now it exists. Right. We have online where you can go to guys like Kevin and Frank and you can pay them money and mastermind with them. Or if you can't afford those guys, you can get signed up for like someone like Ben Settle's newsletter for $97 a month or something like that, to where whatever it is that you are means, you're allowed to surround yourself with someone that you can learn from. Like, even for me, you know, I have right now my mission is to give out 5,000 books. You can go to elevatortothetop.com and I'll give you a free paperback copy of my book. And it's like this. And so you can get a free paperback copy of it. The same back in the day, people couldn't give their books away because they didn't have any kind of platform to get them into the hands of people. And so now, if you can't afford anything, you can go to YouTube and you can learn all sorts of stuff. You can invest in knowledge. And here's the thing: knowledge has to be implemented on. And that's been the single biggest thing that I think that has attributed to my success is my ability to not only just consume knowledge but to take action. Matter of fact, here's my biggest downfall. When I buy these programs online, I see something, I'm like, dude, that sounds awesome. I want to learn that speed reader or how to run Facebook ads or Google ads expert stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I want to learn that. And then I watch like the first video. I'm like, dude, that's genius. And I never log in again because I'm over here trying to take action on the thing. I think that's the difference. I think most people watch the video 6 or 7 times and try to memorize it and get it perfect, where I just figure I'll just Tasmanian devil my way through everything and somebody will come behind me and pick the pieces, even if it is me doing it, you know. And really, that's just how I've done everything. I just have taken action. So, but there's two things. Like I said, you know, having the mentor and then being able to take action on the information that you get from mentor. These days, there's no excuse. You get books like this. You can go to YouTube and there's all like Gary Vaynerchuk, you said, Grant Cardone, all those, myself, we're all over YouTube. There's a bunch of videos, free stuff that you can learn. So there's really no excuse not to be successful these days. It really isn't.
No, I totally agree. I mean, just even with the whole, with the internet and everything, it's made it so much easier. I remember when I first started my company at 14 years old, having to actually fill out, call the company, have them mail me a vendor application, fill it all out, mail it back, wait like a month to find out if you're actually approved and everything. And then having to go network at like little meetings to sell the stuff. There was no internet to pop up a website or do it that way.
So. One click upsells. Yeah, right. The one click upsell was the networking you had to go to. Yeah.
But it got good, valuable sales, communication, closing, right. Selling, everything. So, but I really appreciate you coming on the show today. Tell our audience where they can find out more about you. Obviously, elevatorthetop.com. Go grab a free copy of your book.
Yeah, definitely grab the book at elevatorthetop.com. And you can go to hardcorecloser.com. That's my blog. All my social media is there. Everything else, there's like 1,500 blog posts on there. I've written for Entrepreneur, Forbes, Huffington Post, all that stuff, plus the articles on that website. There is not a better sales resource on the internet. I'm willing to put my reputation on that there's not a better sales resource on the internet other than hardcorecloser.com. So if you sell anything, head over there and check it out.
Cool. Awesome. And what's one piece of technology you can't live without?
Man, there is more than one, but right now I would say my iPhone, because I pretty much run everything from my iPhone. Other than doing the interviews like this or whatever, man, I run my entire life by my iPhone, so I could never make it without it.
Cool, man. No, that's awesome. Again, thanks. I really appreciate your time today. It was an honor to have you on the show and just being able to share your information and share everything, you know, with our audience.
Cool. Well, thanks for having me on, Josh.
Definitely. I am Josh Felber. You're watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. And sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.